I want to read some scripture taken from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. About 50 of us went up to the Ark Encounter yesterday, and it was a wonderful, eye-opening experience to see the magnitude of the Ark. Several years ago, I preached about Noah and Noah's righteousness. He had righteousness which was by faith, how that Noah found grace in the eyes of God, how that he was a preacher of that righteousness. I talked quite a bit about the impact that Noah had upon the earth. But I've never preached on the ark. I preached about Noah, but I've never really singled out and preached about the ark. I woke up this morning, I had a dream of preaching about the ark. So I guess it was a sign. We'll say it was a sign. Perhaps the Lord was visiting me in my sleep and was trying to help me, guide me in what I needed to say this morning. I pray the Lord will bless these verses of Scripture. If you ever get a chance to go and see the ark, it's a good tour. It really is. To see the magnitude of it, to see what they have accomplished with $23 million. In building, Noah must have been a rich man, hey? It was an expensive endeavor, but we know that the Bible tells us in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that it by faith, Noah moved with fear in the preparation of the ark to the saving of his house. And there's great things that can be accomplished with faith and fear. Those that have faith in God and have the right godly fear in being obedient to Him, many wonderful, great things can be accomplished. I want to read starting in verse 14 of the 6th chapter of Genesis. I'm not going to read chapter 6, 7, and 8. That gives us the thorough account concerning Noah and the building of the ark. But some of you young people have seen something that all of us up to this point have only embraced by faith. You've seen a replica of Noah's ark. The size, the magnitude. Now I'm not saying that every single solitary thing that was in there was completely accurate. But we believe with all of our heart this biblical account. And like somebody said to me, and I agree wholeheartedly, as we were moving from station to station, this was not a pretty affair. This wasn't a beautiful event. This was a catastrophe. This was a pouring out of God's judgment and God's wrath. God looked down and there was great anarchy and great apostasy in the earth. And he saw that man's hearts and imagination was evil continually. And he came to the conclusion that a judgment was necessary. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now, all of the judgments of the Old Testament are a prelude to the great white throne of judgment. They simply give us proof. They give us accreditation. They give us evidence that God is going to judge sin. Every one of them. Peter made reference to that in 2 Peter chapter 3. He talked about how that the same word that brought rain in Noah's day, this world is held in store by the same word for destruction of fire and brimstone. And so, we know that these judgments are a prelude. They give evidence that there's a judge, that God, listen to me, God is going to judge your sins. And there's only one safe place, and it's Jesus Christ. One safe place, and it's Jesus Christ. I'll begin reading in verse 14, and just want to begin by making this statement. In Sunday school, it was read concerning Jesus Christ being the antitype of the ark. It was read from 1 Peter 3 and 21 that Jesus Christ, his death, that the ark represented, typified, that it was an analogy, or it was a symbol of the salvation through the cross. The ark symbolized Jesus Christ. And I love the next chapter. I'm going to read into the next chapter. This is a great statement. And it's going to be the title of my message. Where God says to Noah, get in the ark. Get in the ark. Listen, the only safe place from the wrath and judgment of God is in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not real good about typology or analogies and symbolisms. I'm not one of those kind of preachers. I'm more analytical in my preaching. But I know what the scriptures say. I know what the Apostle Peter said by divine inspiration. He said the ark symbolized Jesus Christ, and I believe that. Now, we could go through the wood, the pitch, the rooms. We could go through the three floors, the door, the window, and a variety of other things, and probably make some close comparisons to Jesus Christ. But the point I want to make, the point I want to put great emphasis upon, is that the only safe place from the judgment and wrath of God was in the ark. And the only safe place from the wrath and judgment of God for your sins is in Jesus Christ. All right, verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now, there's a lot of things that typify Jesus Christ. Perhaps the wood typifies the humanity of Jesus Christ. I'm not offended by that. I know there are places in the Bible where man is referred to as a tree planted by the river of water, Psalms 1. I know there are passages of Scripture where Jesus is referred to as a root, the root of Jesse. I know he's referred to in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah as a plant, a small plant. I know that there's passages that talk about him being a branch in Zechariah and a variety of other places. And so we know that sometimes wood is referred to, or trees are referred to metaphorically with respect to man. I know this much, that it took Christ coming down from heaven to save us. He was born in the barn in Bethlehem, and he was a man. The Word had to become flesh and dwelt among us. And he was 100% man. It took a perfect sacrifice of a human man, a sinless man, to be a substitutionary atonement for our sins. Yes. Now, he was 100% God, but he was 100% man. This may refer to the humanity of Jesus Christ. It talks about the rooms and here in this verse. Let me read on. I'm not going to go through all these different references, but I like what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 and 1, where he says, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant." As a tender plant. Well, I'm not sure all the metaphorical analogies concerning some of the great theologians that have been expressed through the years. But I know this. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, justified in the Spirit, preached among the Gentiles, and was called up to glory. Yeah. The God-man, Jesus Christ. You have to believe that Jesus came here to save you. He came down that we might go up. And you have to put faith and trust in what he did while he was here on the earth. There's some things that he did here as a man. We put our faith and our trust in the man Christ Jesus, who died on a cross for us and resurrected on the third day. He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. I don't know what gopher wood was. Some say it was cypress wood. Some say other wood. Some say it was wood that was from the city of Gopher. I don't know. But I do know this, that Noah was obedient to every detail that God gave him. Every detail. We're going to see that repeated in here as well. But so he was to make an ark. Now let me say something about the ark. The word ark, technically in the Hebrew, has reference to a box. I was a little disappointed in the ark being more looking more like a ship rather than a box. The word ark was kind of like a coffin. We know the Ark of the Covenant was square. And possibly it was more square than what we saw at the display in Kentucky. But he was to make an ark. And so he goes on and says, make rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Now those of you that, it was hard for all of us to stay together yesterday as we were touring, going through the ark. Just hard to keep almost 50 people together. And so we got kind of separated. But if you were with me any during that time, I whined a lot about there being no pitch. I did. I whined a lot about there not, where's the pitch? That was the first thing I said when I saw it. Very first thing I said, I see the wood, but where's the pitch? Now some have concluded that this pitch was needed to keep the whales from bumping into it and causing a hole in the... No. It had to be sealed. It had to be sealed with pitch. Now let me point out something about this word pitch. This is going to take me a while, maybe. I don't know. Let me point out, the word pitch is kofar in the Hebrew, kofar. It's in the Old Testament about 102 times, kofar in the Hebrew. But it's only translated pitch one time. Do you see that as odd? It's in the Old Testament 102 times, but it's only translated pitch one time. And it's found right here in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. Well, how is it translated the other 101 times? Well, 72 times it is translated atonement. Everybody say atonement. 72 times it's translated atonement. 9 times it is translated purged. Purged. Like we read in Isaiah 6 and 6, where it talks about Isaiah seeing the seraphim. The seraphim takes the live coals from his hand, and he takes the thongs from the altar, and he lays that hot coal on the mouth of Isaiah, and he touches his lips, and he says, this will take away your sins. It will purge you from sin. Like we read in Isaiah 27 and 9, where it says, by this therefore shall the iniquity of Jacob be pitched or purged. Same Hebrew word. So sometimes it's translated atonement, 72 times to be exact. 9 times it is referred to as having your sins purged. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, 3 times it is referred to and translated as reconciliation. Reconciliation. And of course these verses in Daniel chapter 9 in verse 24 particularly is having reference to Jesus Christ. In my estimation, the prophecy, the great prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel. He says 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, and to make pitch or reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most High. Well, there's a few other places where it's translated forgiveness and mercy and pardon. Listen, the safety of the ark was in the pitch. The safety of the ark was in the pitch. In other words, the safety of our souls, the salvation of our souls, is in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, he became a man, and he was the best man that ever lived. I assure you, there was no one any more perfect than Jesus Christ. He was sinless. He was perfect. His teaching was right. His ways were right. But folks, we're not just to follow his ways and his teaching. We are to look to his death on the cross to find atonement for our sins. Yes, there's where we find forgiveness, mercy, pardon, and have our sins purged. It must be covered by the blood. And so that's important. Now, I know there's other parts of this that we find that are very important. There needs to be pitch in your salvation. There needs to be a covering. When that wrath came, when the judgment came, not one drop of God's wrath got through the pitch. And if you're saved by the grace of God and you're trusting in the atoning death of Christ, there's not one drop of God's wrath that will get through His Son's atonement. That's the only way that we are safe, is by the atoning death of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to read in here that there were three decks. I don't know if that represents God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But I know this. I know this. The ark of safety is pitched with the blood of Christ. We're saved by the blood, folks. We're saved by the blood. Yes, grace is only available through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We put faith in the blood. Now, I'm convinced that there was a vapor canopy. I'm convinced that there's no way that we could accurately depict or describe the kind of calamity that occurred when the waters came. The Bible says that the waters came up from the deep and it came from above in a sudden crash and sudden calamity, so much so that it caused fossilization. Now, I like those displays in there, didn't you? Sure did. You know, these archaeologists that find a fossil through the or try to discover some kind of length of days by the stratus of the earth. In reality, all they're proving is that there was a great flood. That's all they're proving. Now, I believe in biblical science. And I believe biblical science can be reckoned. But I'm not a great thinker. I'm a great believer. I believe what the Bible says. Amen? God told Noah to build an ark for the saving of his house. And the Bible says that he moved with fear and prepared the ark the exact way that God had specified. And he was made safe. Praise the Lord. And he's in the hall of faith. Yeah, I love what the Hebrew writer said, Hebrews chapter 11, concerning him. My question, now you've seen it. You've seen the possibilities of this. Some of you have seen this. And you're outside the ark of safety. One of the things that astonished me was the protesters. We went by this little band of people. They said the day before there was like 2,000 people went through that ark. And there was a little handful of protesters, you know, protesting this great big old boat out in the middle of a field. Looks like people have better use of their time than that. Why would they care? Why would they care about this massive boat in the middle of a field? There are still scoffers in our day, just like there were in his day. See, all of this is just a prelude of the second coming of Jesus Christ. You read in Matthew chapter 24, or you read in Luke chapter 7, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The same way. And he said this. He said, in the day that Noah went into the ark, that same day, the people on the outside of the ark, they were destroyed. They were taken all away, Matthew says. Folks, you better be ready for the coming of the Lord, because judgment is going to come upon this earth. All right, so he said, make some rooms. And he gives the dimensions. He said, this is the fashion. I need to read these verses. I got to get down to my text. And I'll close in just a minute. But he says, this is the fashion which thou shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in the cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark, folks, listen to me, there was one door into this ark of safety, and there's only one door into eternal safety, and it's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he'll find rest for his soul. Oh, you need to enter into the ark. Come into the ark of safety. There's one door, and I believe that door is Christ. He said, the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof with lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of the waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Therein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Oh, praise God. Praise God. We are in covenant with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in the new covenant? Are you in the ark of safety? Are you in Jesus Christ? Folks, listen to me. Without being in the ark of safety, without being in Jesus Christ, you will perish. Mark it down. As sure as the word was when God sent the water, it's a sure word of prophecy concerning when he sends the fire. You need to be ready. I don't know what kind of scoffing went on in the days of Noah. We have it today. Are we just happy with just... Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, they're just tending to their own lives. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And they just did not give thought to the things that were being preached by this great preacher, Noah. With every board, with every nail, with every dip of the pitch, I'm telling you, he was preaching that the end is coming and this is the only place of safety. And we're preaching the same thing today. The end is coming and there's only one place of safety, and it's in the atoning death of Jesus Christ. Get into the ark. Go through the door. Once you get inside the door, there's only one window and it's up. That's what we ought to be doing while we're in this place of safety. Just looking up, setting our affections on things above, praise God. Looking up into the heavens where our redemption draweth nigh. And he tells us in these verses that he's going to destroy everyone and everything. And God did. I don't believe it was a local flood. It was a universal flood. The whole world was covered in water. It was the greatest catastrophe in human history. There's not been one since any greater. The only pending greater catastrophe is the second coming of the Lord and the world and the heavens being destroyed with fire. Listen, there was a great flood and only Noah and his family survived. And the only reason they survived is because there was an ark. And God was gracious. I don't think Noah was in there, you know, proudful. He knew it was all because of grace. You read earlier, during this great anarchy, during this great apostasy, the Bible says Noah found grace. He found grace in the sight of God. Do you know anything about saving grace? Noah did. Do you know anything about the saving grace? It's in Christ Jesus and through the cross. And behold, I do bring flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, too, of every sort, shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, the fowls after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth after their kind. Two of every sort shall come upon unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Well, we've looked at a few things this morning with regard to Christ being the antitype. This was a type of Christ. Okay? We noticed the symbolism concerning the wood and the pitch. We noticed that it only had one door, one window. We noticed it was for deliverance from judgment. You see the type? You see the symbolism? There's only one deliverance from the judgment of God, and that is Christ. Come into the ark. We see the salvation there. What a blessed salvation it is. We also see the size. I believe there's room for you. There's room for you. This was massive. Room for you. There's room in the ark for you. I know we sing there's room at the cross for you, but there's room in the ark for you. Put your faith and trust in the atoning death of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to close. I really enjoyed the visit to the replica of the ark. But one of these days, I'll get to meet the passengers. Isn't that wonderful? Bible says that Noah was a just man and a perfect man in his generation. Noah walked with God. Listen, folks, there's only one way you can be justified in the sight of God. There's only one way you can be justified in the sight of God, and that is by faith. Faith. He had saving faith. Yeah. Let's notice another verse here, and I'm going to close. One similarity that I think is overlooked a lot of times. We know that It rained for 40 days and nights. The whole earth was covered. But when the ark came to rest, look over in chapter 8. It said it in the verse 4, chapter 8 and verse 4. In the seventh month of the 17th day of the month, this ark rested on Mount Ararat. Phenomenal. The seventh month, the 17th day, it rested. Do you remember what happened on the 14th day of the seventh month among the Jews? Passover, exactly. On the 14th day of the seventh month was the Passover. All right. What happened 3 days after the Passover? The resurrection. Yeah. The resurrection. Jesus Christ is, you know, that ark probably looked like a coffin. And I believe it was probably buried at times in water. You may disagree, but I believe when the vapor canopy busted and the waters from the deep came up, I believe this thing was just crashed with water. I'm telling you, Christ came forth. He was buried. He died for your sins. He was buried, but He lives. The ark rested on this mount. It's called the Mount of Holiness. I believe Jesus ascended on high and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. The work's been done. Victory has been brought to us. Salvation and deliverance. And all you need to do is get in the ark. Get in Jesus Christ. Come into the ark of safety. Put your faith and trust in what Jesus did at Calvary, and it will atone for your sins. It will purge you. You'll experience forgiveness and mercy, and none of the judgment and wrath of God will come upon you. You'll be safe. Safe. Stand to your feet. Let's get a song. Safe in Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, you're either in or you're out of Christ. You're either in the safety of Him or you're outside of His safety. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. You need Jesus. You need Christ. You got to get in the boat. You got to get in the ark of safety. You got to do it now before the wrath comes. Oh, God's been long-suffering to you. Bible says, just as it was in the days of Noah, God's being long-suffering to the world. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you in the boat, but you need to call upon the Lord. You need to seek His face. You need to turn from your sins. You have to put faith in Jesus Christ. Yes. And if you're here today, you're outside of the ark of safety. Come on in. God says, come in. Come into the ark. Every gospel invitation is just like what Noah received there in that seventh chapter, verse 1. Come on into the ark. Noah, not just you, but your family. They all need to come into the ark. Come into the ark. Be safe from the wrath to come. I want to say to those of you that haven't made a move toward the cross, do you wonder what the skeptics of Noah's day were saying as he was building that great big old thing in that community? Do you think they were just not paying attention? I mean, Jesus almost seems to imply they were just busy with their own life, not paying attention that they need to be saved. That their ark just wasn't relevant to them. Just eating and drinking, just doing their own business, and neglecting their own soul. Some of you are the same as those that were destroyed by the flood. You're just like them. Exactly like those on the outside when the rains came. Just not paying any attention to your need of salvation. You won't escape if you neglect so great a salvation. You won't escape. The judgment will come upon you to utter eternal destruction. Just not paying any attention, not interested, not mindful of what the gospel means and the impact it can have. I'm just eating, drinking, marrying. Jesus said, until Noah entered the ark. And that same day, they all were destroyed. Well, Christ is our safety, both now and forever in eternity. And I hope all of you get to enjoy that. But if you neglect your soul, you will perish. I mean, I'm trying to point you to the cross. I'm trying to tell you there's safety in Christ. But if you don't find that safety for yourself, you'll perish. And if there's anybody here outside the ark, you need to come on in. The door is open. But there's coming a day when God's going to shut the door. Just like He did in Noah's day, God shut the door and mercy will live in it. He said at the beginning of that building of that boat to Noah, "My spirit shall not always strive with man. I'll give them 120 years and that's it. And if they don't get right with me, they'll perish eternally." That's what God said. Your time is limited. Amen. That's the point. And there's a place of safety, but it's only in Christ. I pray you hear God say your name. And say, get in the boat. Come into the ark. Noah! Come into the ark! Noah! Come into the ark! I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak your name and say, come into Jesus Christ. Come into Him. I pray He speaks it to your heart today. All of us want our families in the boat, don't we? We want you in this safe place. And the only safe place is in Christ.